Howdy, partners. How we do? Whoa, dear God.
What is killing? What are those?
Sorry.
Why do we have readers? Why do we have the break apart readers opening the show? We just lost all of our potential new audience under the age of 40. They're all gone. They just left.
Sorry. You know, I was Liv Pat last week with the sunglasses on. And I guess I forgot to take my readers off for this. I forgot, DB. I've been coming in hot. I didn't know. I forgot to take them off.
Welcome to the CJ Cup Byron Nelson betting show. I'm your host, DB. Pat Perry with me. We're going to talk all things CJ Cup, talking outrights, some top 20s, the season-long fade bet. Guys, we're going to avoid in the top end of the outright market. We're going to have some fun here tonight. We're back regular week. No more, you know, team event stuff. Pat, I do want to start with Liv Adelaide, though. We did a great Liv show last week. I thought it was a phenomenal Liv show. Neither one of us had Brendan Steele winning. I don't think anybody had Brendan Steele winning. Came out of nowhere. And frankly, I was kind of a Brendan Steele guy back in the day on the PGA Tour. At least I was a Brendan Steele betting guy.
I hated his swing.
Hate his golf swing. Mm-hmm. I have hatred in my heart for his golf swing. I hate it. It's the worst. Did you watch Liv Adelaide, or did you at least watch some clips? Were you intrigued? Did you have any bets fired off? What are your thoughts?
I did have bets fired off, and none of them hit, obviously.
Oh, we had no top 10 Louis at plus 170?
I didn't do that. I just did a couple outrights. I did watch some clips of it. I didn't watch it live. As a matter of fact, I was ready to watch it live, and I texted you, and you never responded because I was asking you what channel it was again.
This is not hard, and plus, you can use the internet.
Liv
says on their website how to watch. They have it on the website. I think the first round's even on YouTube. I watch on Liv Golf Plus. You have to just sign up for Liv Golf Plus. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. Yeah, I've already told you this. And
I just wanted a quick answer from my buddy DB.
Google's pretty quick. Google's actually pretty quick.
Maybe I wanted to connect with you over Liv.
No. I transitioned from the draft and the Falcons choosing Michael Penix. And I was like, oh, God, okay, I'm going to Liv. And I went to Liv. And I watched the first round. You're muted, Tony. Producer.
Dang, just ruins the whole bit. Also, DB, you're kind of expecting Pat's internet to be working properly as well, so it might actually take less time for him to text you and you text him back than him Googling it.
That's right. I had not thought about that.
See,
that's a good point.
The text waves in the world are much quicker than the internet waves.
Not a mail pigeon.
Yeah. So that's a good point, Tony. Listen. I did want to watch it, and I didn't watch any of it live, but I did watch some clips, including Kevin Na, which I was just before we started the show watching Kevin Na for the first time go apeshit, which I thought was pretty funny. I didn't see any clips of the playoff I'm surprised that's the first team playoff they've ever had, but it is. And for the Rippers to win in Australia is just amazing.
Yeah, and they kind of stormed back on Sunday. They were not. I don't think they were in the top three or on the final round. So
they stormed back holding from the High Flyers.
No, not the High Flyers. They were in the playoff with. God dang
no,
it.
But the High Flyers were up South there. Africans. If you checked it in the middle of the night. It was the High Flyers.
No way you rolled over and checked in the middle of the night.
Yes, I did because I was wondering if. You know, one of my bets might hit.
Look at you, man, huh? Huh? Yeah. Look how far we've come.
I tell you, this is what betting does to sports. If you want to be interested in it, you need to have a little bit on the line.
This is true.
That you can afford.
Yes. I was disappointed. Stinger. Stinger GC. That was who the Ripper beat in the playoff, the South African team. I had Louis Oosthuizen on the card, of course. He falls short. To Brendan Steele, Adelaide was fun. A lot of people, a lot of clips going on. You had Lucas Herbert's, caddy getting hit in the head with a water bottle at the watering hole. But he actually made a joke about it after they won. He was fine. Everybody talked about how he's going to get sent to the hospital. Like, okay, just for, you know, it is what it is. Okay. The Aussies are a wild bunch. If you think you can tame the whole place literally started as a place to send prisoners. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are crazy. They're crazy. So to be expected. I saw a behind the scenes video on Liv's Instagram today of Ripper when they won. And it was pretty cool. Like, those guys genuinely cared about it. Unfortunately, Liv has not yet done a great job of duplicating the Adelaide vibes at every other event they have. There's something to that. There's something to the gumbo in Australia with Adelaide. And Liv's got to figure out how they can tap into that more. It may be more because, you know, some of the teams are purely from, you know, when they have teams that are like a grab bag of guys that aren't necessarily from the same country, and then they don't play an event in that country, that you're not going to get any juice out of that. Also, did you see that the Majestics, Poulter, Stenson, Westwood, did you see how far behind their team finished? They were like 40 something shots behind, or 50 or something.
That's a high school team trying to compete with a college team.
Yeah. Right, I'm the Liv homer here in this here establishment between me and Pat. I like Liv more. That is quite unbecoming. That is very unbecoming. Get those guys the hell out of there, or something's got to give. Like, that's just piss poor. So anyway, what about Zurich? Did you watch the Zurich? Are you counting Rory's win?
No, I'm not counting Rory.
Oh, that's funny, because when me and you got into it in the Masters Wednesday night Discord
fight. Yeah, I know, but that was like,
you counted it for Patrick Cantlay in your argument that,
well,
Patrick plays a better golf with Max Homa.
No.
You counted.
I think I was shot bomb Ben.
No, that was totally you. Ben wasn't even on the freaking thing. That was you.
Well, it's a win. Yeah, actually it is a win.
God dang, you flip-flop like Rory.
Yeah. I don't think Rory flip-flops.
What? Stop.
I mean, he does some, I guess, but
what? He flip flops all the time. He's flip flops live over the years.
Wait.
He is the biggest flip flopper in professional golf. 100%. Okay, no one has flip flopped more than Rory.
Despite the Rory hate, it was. I enjoyed watching it.
But he took down Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburn and Martin Strainer
and Chad Ramey.
That's a win, man. That is a win. Great for him. Rory's back on the winning track. Everybody's juiced up about Valhalla now. God, it's just,
I don't know about that, but I don't think he can really take a whole lot away from the win, if you want to count it as a win, as something that can like lead you to something at Valhalla, because it's so different. I mean, you got a teammate you can lean on. You got all kinds of stuff. They really kind of, in a way, like, it sort of fell in their laps anyway. But that being said, it was actually interesting for me to watch it. And the celebration afterwards was kind of cool.
Now watching him like karaoke was actually really cool. That was cool. And you know what pissed me off even more than Rory winning is dadgum Shane Lowry. Over the guy for the Masters, for the Heritage. God, I also had Henrik Nolander and Luke List at 80-1, one shot off the lead in the last group play yesterday, and they just ejected so quickly that it was just no fun. It was done. It was over quickly, very quickly. So anyway, Zurich, listen, I still stand by this. Like, I'm sorry, but if you got people going like, I cracked the code, there's an edge in the DF in Zurich. No, there's not. The hell there is. There's not. It is the most random, high variance freaking golf tournament. I don't mind watching the alternate shot. I don't care at all for best ball. I'm tired of watching four ball golf. It's just the same. I don't get any pleasure out of watching no namers and rando pairings. I don't. The It's just a stupid event to try and handicap. It really is. We threw some bets out there for the fun of it. People wanted the bets. We gave you the bets. Was way more interested to watch Live Adelaide, personally. Except for Sunday, Alt Shot was fun. I like watching Alt Shot. So other than that, like, I'm sorry, this is a extremely, until this event is not 80 freaking teams of random dudes who don't have status, barely have status. You know, I mean, like, I'm convinced you might be able to, like, dress. Me and you could, like, we could possibly, like, dress as tour players, bring big old bags with our names on them, park in the parking lot at Zurich next year, walk in like we're supposed to be there. I mean, you and I have done this at PGA Tour events before. Sometimes you can go into places at PGA Tour events if you just look like you're supposed to go in there. You don't have, you know, you just don't stop. You just look like I'm supposed to be going in here. Don't stop me. We might be able to tee off in the Zurich Classic. We pick out a walk-up song. We do everything. If somehow we just, like, look the part.
Yeah. I mean, we might even make it past the first hole if we just had a decent hole and
you know. I'd have to hit the first tee shot. You couldn't let
wouldn't let
you hit the first tee shot on that one.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It would be bad.
I don't know.
It would be bad.
Me and old Russ Cochran. Russ Cochran, they almost made the cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they doubled one of their second to last holes or something right before. Yeah, I mean, anyway, just I'm glad, sure, Rory, whatever. I'm glad Rory won because I didn't want I don't want to see Martin Trainer anymore. I really don't even want to see Chad Ramey anymore on tour, and that would have just prolonged their. I'm glad Zach Blair didn't win. I didn't want to see him. I don't want to see him anymore. So if it wasn't List and Norlander, I was just kind of like, fine, let it be Rory. But it's just a dumb event. I'm sorry. It just is. So, all right, that's kind of the recap. I want to thank our friends at Bet the Number for providing the stuff. You know, Bet the Number, providing the goods, the data, the analytics, all the goodies. Website's getting better and better. Just launched in January. The up-and-coming golf data and analytics website. You got to check it out. Code TJ gets you $5 off a monthly membership, $50 off an annual membership. Access to probably the most customizable custom model available of stuff that is useful. They eliminate the useless stuff that people want to throw in models, okay? And so for a very small amount per month, per tournament week, you can get on Bet the Number, and your first 7 days is free. So you can give it a shot, try it out, see if you like it. You will. Bing, bang, bong, let's go, okay? But you got a lot of big golf tournaments coming up here with elevated events, majors. This is it. We're off and running. Once we get past the Byron Nelson, like, we're off and running. Wells Fargo's next week. Then we got the PGA. We're going to be full throttle, and you're going to need Bet the Number. Shout out to them. Link in the description. And remember, if you're a paying member of the Discord, you do get a special, special discount. More than anyone on the internet, you get a discount if you just DM myself or Pat and say, hey, I would like a big, bad discount to Bet the Number. We'll hook you up. So check that out. All right, Pat, before we get into our favorite bets up at the top of the outright board, we have to talk about our season long bet, because I have changed the mojo. I have turned the mojo around, and all it took was you not being on the show. That's what it took. It took you not being on the show.
You caught me like I was driving. You made me, like, you forced me into a quick decision. And then this is what happens.
Well, I mean, I did the same thing when I was out a couple weeks ago. I made a pick remotely, you know.
And it was a bad one.
And it was a bad one. But I got to give credit. I got to give some credit. I got to give credit to Gutsy, and I got to give credit to the people in the chat, because I was approaching it that week when you were not on the show, and it was me and Gutsy. I think it was for the Heritage. I was approaching it to say, I think this is a good time for me to reset. I think it's a momentum killer. It'll slow Pat down. It'll take, you know, it's stalling the drive. It's completely stalling the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an injury timeout when you've been driving down the field and, like, they got to bring the stretcher out. It's a long timeout, right? And Gutsy and the chat were like, man, I think this is your opportunity to pounce. You can't run from this. You got to run to it, and you got to pounce. And it kind of jazzed me up. And finally, I was like, you know what? I think they're right. I texted you, and I think you picked Patrick Cantlay as your fade at the Heritage.
No, I picked Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark, yeah.
Yeah.
You picked Wyndham Clark. I picked Rory, and Wyndham Clark won like almost 1.2 million. Rory mm-hmm. won $100,000.
Yeah.
So now we are. Here's the update. I've made up some ground. I think that's some significant ground. I needed that. That was a significant.
Yeah. It's still
because
it's
now
still a big number.
Now, but I'm inside half. You know what I mean? Now at least you're because I was at like a third. You were at like a third of my total, and now you're at a half. Right.
Yeah,
you're basically at a half. So
a little over a half, but yeah,
we're eating into it. We're eating into it. Okay, so I'm excited about the progress there for the season long bet. Pumped about that. Let's get to this week's season long fade. Looking at the top of the betting board on Bet the Number, odds being pulled in from DK Sportsbook, but we'll pull other books as well for tonight. You got Jordan Spieth kicking off the top of the betting board. No Scottie Scheffler. He was here last year. I will say this year's field, a little weaker than last year's field. You had Scheffler. You had Hideki. I think there's one other stud that you had last year that's not here this year. But, yeah, anyway, a little bit weaker field. No Scheffler. He's having the baby probably, I think, or close to it. So Jordan Spieth kicks off at 16-1. Siwoo, Jason Day at 18. Willie Z, Adam Scott, Norin, Sungjae, Minwoo, Tom Hoagie, Steven Yeager, Ben On, Tom Kim. Those are your names at 30-1 or shorter at the top of the board. Pat, you get to pick first tonight. Who is your fade in this range?
Well, DB, there's a lot of things I'd like to do here. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fade the gentleman who is on your shirt.
Oh!
I am going to fade Siwoo Kim at 18-1.
Buddy. Buddy.
Yeah.
I don't think
maybe I'm getting cute, but I'm going to fade him.
I do not think that's a good decision, Pat.
I don't care. You don't make the decisions in this house.
Ooh, you're going to fade Siwoo in Siwoo's backyard.
Siwoo's backyard, you know, I'm
wearing the shirt.
He is, you know, he's obviously got a good history here with a second last year. Missed the cut the year before that and a T55 the year before that. He has been playing pretty well.
Siwoo.
I just think you could. The thing with Siwoo is it's going to go really good or really bad for me.
Yep.
There's no in between. So I'm gonna gamble a little bit that it's gonna be the bad Siwoo this week, even in his backyard. I think there's a lot of demands, kid, all kinds of stuff. I just think
he's been playing well though, Pat. He's been playing well.
I hear you.
Okay. I love that fade for you. I don't like the fade myself, but I love.
Well, you
that
would
fade.
Never do it. You would never do it. But that's gonna be mine.
Well, we're both going to take guys in the same range then, because I'm not going to be a coward and go way down and do like Minwoo, which I think Minwoo.
I thought you were just going to go easy Minwoo.
I'm out on Minwoo. I'm not going to go easy.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a guy in decent form, getting it all done with short game and putting, all of it. Ball speed used to be up there. Now it's a little towards the average on the PGA Tour. Irons have been terrible. And now he's also got defending champ responsibilities. I am fading Jason Day at 18-1. He is the fade for me.
Okay.
Thoughts on that? Did you have Jay Day on the short list?
Jay Day was not on the short list to bet, actually, or he was not on the short list to fade either. I was kind of just indifferent on him, so I don't mind the play. I think it's okay.
As I look at this board, because we can talk about we can talk about the rest of the board. Like, this just screams. I mean, like, okay, so first of all, I didn't do a course breakdown show this weekend. I was working with Bet the Number on the model, and it didn't get out till late, so it is what it is. We know that this place, you and I have been to TPC Craig. Actually, I've been to TPC Craig Ranch, and I played TPC Craig Ranch. Big ballpark, wide fairways. The rough ain't penal. Fairways are zoysia. Ball sits up real nice. Fair amount of mid irons, long irons, big greens, bent grass, pure greens. Don't have to worry about grain, just pure. Not a lot of slope. Big, high green and reg numbers. It can turn into a little bit of a putting contest, but you got to get there with mid irons and long irons, which is which does help kind of bring it more towards, okay, let's get some ball strikers in there. But I mean, KH Lee, this will be the fourth year they've had it here. KH Lee won it the first 2 years, around 25, 26 under. Last year was the first year they changed it to a par 71. I think they changed number 12 from a par 5 to a par 4. Jason Day still got it to 23 under. Still got to 23. As you're looking at the weather this week, it's pretty dry. Maybe a touch of rain over the weekend. Might see some rain over the weekend, but it doesn't look like anything crazy. And typical Texas winds. Like, you know, you get some gusts in the 20s, sustained winds, maybe in the 10 to 12, 15 range on Thursday. But it's not real bad. I mean, it's basically, I think it's pretty benign Texas weather. But you're still going to see a ton of birdies. You got to go low. I think the cut here last year was 4 under. Like I said, big green and red guy, big green and red week. And I think there's plenty of variance here. When you look at the leaderboard, if you look at the leaderboard from last year, in fact, why don't I see if I can do this? Because producer Tony had to dip. So let's see if I can figure this out without him. If I do this, what happens? Yeah, look at that. Look at that, Pat. Look at what I'm doing right there.
Look at you.
This is the leaderboard from last year. And one of the things you notice here on Bet the Number is not a lot of green over here. Tons of red.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Compare it relative to a lot of other golf tournaments. You know, so this is incoming form, previous five events, and this is their history at Craig Ranch previous 2 years. I mean, Jason Day, his best finish at this place was a T51, and he's coming off a missed cut at the Wells Fargo. And he wins. You know, not a lot of history required or good course history required or history at all required. And really, form is kind of interesting. Like, there's a handful of guys in here that were coming in hot. I mean, there's Scotty, which is, I mean, you know, oh, there it was. Tyrrell Hatton was the other name I was thinking of. Scotty and Tyrrell Hatton coming in great form, but those guys were also just top-tier players. But everybody else kind of just benign form, if not terrible. And they showed up here, and it's a lot to do with the variance. To me, that is the reason, probably my favorite reason why you avoid this top end of the board. Like, I just, even though I like Siwoo, I don't think that's a good fade. I'm glad you picked him. I don't think there's any chance I would bet him at 18 or 20 to 1. There's no way I'm betting Jordan as wild as he's been lately to play. To win at 16 to 1. I think Jay Day is a bad bet at 18 to 1. I don't get any interest at all until the 20s. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's definitely the same for me. I don't have anybody that I wrote down shorter than Willie Z at 22 to 1. He's just going to get me again. He's going to continue to do it. But I do feel I just feel like I'm getting a little teeny bit of value there. Not a lot, just a little bit at 22 to 1.
You're getting some name value, but that's it, dude.
Yeah, and he's had some good finishes. Yeah. But look, again, this is like you just said, we just reviewed this whole thing. I mean, the form, whatever else, isn't necessarily a key this week. You know, and he's been okay, he hasn't been great. I am surprised. I didn't realize he snuck into the top 10 at the Masters, but I guess he did.
I guess
But I think Willie Z at 22-1 is the first thing. Like, if I'm clicking a name to bet up top, he's the first one I feel pretty good about betting. And then the next one, both of these guys are the same to me as far as, like, they just suck me in. Alex Noren at 25-1.
Oh, dear.
Alex Noren. Now, what's trapping me really there is just the the approach game. You know, he's I mean, across the board, really, he's pretty good, you know, other than I do fear that a scoring fest is not necessarily where you're going to see Alex Noren shine, but he has been coming in. He is coming in pretty good form, despite what we just talked about. But I do like Alex Noren there at 25-1.
Okay. This is where I have to have some serious discipline. Okay. And Pat, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you right now.
No, I don't want any discipline.
We're brothers.
I don't want discipline. Don't discipline.
I want to be your accountability partner. I'm going to be your accountability partner, Pat. There are guys in here in this range. There are two, Adam Scott and Alex Noren, that I don't think, at least Alex has never done it, but not on the PGA Tour. Adam Scott hasn't done it in forever. But these guys aren't winning golf tournaments. The faith and trust that we have in these guys winning a 140 something man event is very teeny tiny. I am willing to invest in that at 40-1, at 50-1, 35, 38, maybe with Alex Noren. But these guys are not winning. They are not. And if they do, and I miss it at 25-1 at this random ass CJ Byron, Craig Nelson Ranch tournament, I'm okay with it. If I'm not there for the first one, if I'm not there for Alex, if I'm not there for the first one in forever with Adam Scott at 25, I'm perfectly fine. I think Noren, Scott, and even to an extent Willie Z in this field with this variance in this wild-ass tournament, I think it's kind of fool's gold. It's shiny. It looks like you want it.
I'm going after it. I'm like Donald, the GIF with Donald Duck jumping into the pool of coins. That's what I'm doing. Jumping into the pool of coins with Willie Z and Alex Noren.
The thing I didn't really
Adam Scott. You're kind of like putting Adam Scott into my mouth, like his words into my – get Adam Scott's name out of my mouth.
Speaking of your mouth, you do have to – you owe us rinsing your mouth out with soap from the bet you lost Masters Week, and you will repay that next week.
Yes, I am going to next week.
I'm not putting Adam Scott in your – I'm saying that those are the three guys because Adam Scott's interesting to me. He's fourth in my model, in my bet the number model. He's fourth. So, like, I am interested – I think Adam Scott could have a good week. I think Adam Scott could top five. I think he may, we'll see how he shakes out in DFS.
Maybe he does like Jason Day and wins last year.
Yeah, maybe he does. Maybe he does. I just think that, but Jason Day wasn't 25-1 here last year. I just think that those three names right there are very interesting, but this tournament is not one that I think lends itself to those guys getting it done. Noren ranks highly in my model. Willie Z actually ranks the worst, and it's largely because the putting is still quite bad. And it, yeah, you know, to win at 22, 23 under, that scares me for Willie Z. That I actually would rank Willie Z third out of those three. I would go Noren, Scott, Willie Z in terms of who I like in that range. But I just, as a Noren guy, Pat,
my question,
I don't want you
this.
To do it. I don't
my
want you to do
would,
it.
If you can sit there and say how random this golf tournament is,
mm-hmm.
then why would it not be random for a guy up there like Willie Z or Alex Noren, who hasn't won, to win?
It would not be random for Willie Z to win. He's one of the most.
It would be random because it would be because you're saying they can't win. So then it's random.
I did not say that about Willie Z. I did not say that about Willie Z. I said that about Adam Scott and Alex Knorr. Willie Z can win. But isn't Willie Z just better on these tough courses, these like grinded out courses where his ball striking can really separate? Yeah, but he's not going to be able to lean solely on ball striking here.
I heard this before?
Where?
When Sepp Straka won the John Deere Classic, and we went into all of this stuff about how Sepp only wins on super hard golf courses, or only can win on courses like the Honda. And then what does he do? He goes up and lights up the course at John Deere, where he really should have won by like 3 shots, and somehow only won by like 1 because he doubled the last.
Sepp went unconscious. Yes, but don't we have a greater sample size, especially in tougher courses with more major championship experience with Willie Z now than we did with Sepp then? I just think we've seen Willie Z really thrive in these tough courses where, 12, 15 under or harder is going to win, and he doesn't have to make everything under the sun, and the greens are smaller, if the greens are large, the targets are smaller, and he's not, he's not going to have these big ass putts from these large greens. Like I just don't trust him on the green. That is the only reason I say with Willie Z. It's not that I don't think he can win. I think he can. I don't trust him to win a 23 under borderline putting contest.
Well, we'll see. It's a good part about golf.
But Noren is the one that I'm with you, but I'm trying to say, dude, don't do it. Just walk away right now. Come back next week. Come back next week. If Noren's in the field, I think Noren might be in the field next week. Come back next week. Let's talk next week. Let's
see. You want to just jump into the 40-1 section?
No, because in the 30s, I do love, and I've already bet, and it was a topic of conversation this morning in the Discord, in the First Look show. I do love two names in here, and I love them a lot. I love Stefan Jaeger, and I love Tom Hoge. I think I love Jaeger more because I think Jaeger's going to do better here off the tee. It is, as it has been, tough to ignore Hoagie's iron play of late. But Jaeger and Hoagie were both around 30. I think they opened around 40, or at least Hoagie opened at 40 this morning. He's down to 30 or 28 some places. I got him at 33 this morning, along with Stefan Jaeger at 33. Looks like they're both still 30 on DK. I would take that. I like both of those guys a lot. Those are my two favorite bets here.
I think of those two, well, I do have Hoagie written down. I do like Hoagie better than Stefan Jaeger in my mind. But it's pretty close. I mean, yeah, Jaeger has a lot of confidence coming off of a win recently. In a Texas win on the course, which, by the way, what was the scoring in that?
It was pretty low, I thought.
Wasn't it pretty low? But I think the weather was a factor. I don't know.
Memorial Park's tough. It's
a tough course. But he, look. I just feel like we could get a win from Hoagie. It's kind of splitting hairs a little bit here, but I would take Hoagie over Jaeger in my opinion. But I do like them both. I do like them both.
I mean, the iron play with Hoagie is better. Jaeger has him in the distance category. He's going to do better off the tee, which is key here. But yeah, so I agree. I think it's either. That's why I just like both. Like I would rather have both those guys. I mean, also, Pat, like, don't look at the stats, but like, don't you trust both of those guys more than you trust Alex Noren to win right now? Even though we love Alex, he's our boy, he's our inaugural rape whistle buddy bet of the week. But don't we trust him more? And their numbers are longer.
I mean, slightly 30 versus 25. I don't know. I think I could.
That's a full Scotty Scheffler longer.
Yeah, but I, that's a good measuring stick. I still like Noren. You could probably talk me off of Willie Z somehow, but I'm betting Alex Noren. He'll do it.
I bet I can have you betting by the end of the week.
You're not taking me off of Alex Noren.
I'm gonna try to get you off of him. We're gonna try to talk. We're gonna talk about this. We're gonna have an intervention.
Hey, you do this all the time, and I have more outright winners in the last year and a half, so I don't care.
In the Discord chat on Wednesday night, the live Wednesday night Discord chat with me and Pat, that is electric most weeks. I'll say most. I'm not going to say every week. They're not all home runs, but most of them are pretty good. In the Discord chat this Wednesday night, which I think we're going to try to have a special guest we've been working on, I've been working on, I am asking for an intervention. I need my people. And you know what? This is a bipartisan situation. This is Team DB guys and Team Pat guys who care about you, who care about your unit. Okay. We are going to come together. If you're a Team DB guy or Team Pat guy, I want you to come to the Wednesday Night Live Discord chat prepared. Okay. Prepare something for Pat to help him just stiff arm Noren for just this week, right now. Just right now. So that's what I'm asking. That's your homework. If you're in the Discord, please just do that. All right. I think that's all the favorites. We can move on. That's the 30-1 favorites. Before we move on, I want to thank our friends at Swanee's. This sweet hat is from Swanee's. This tiger hat is awesome. Very excited about my Swanee's hat. And you should be excited if you order some Swanee's. And you can go and use promo code TJ25 to get 25% off your entire order. That's the code TJ25 at checkout. 25% off your entire order is ridiculous. You people would pull over into some dumb, you'd pull over into Kohl's if you saw 25% off in Kohl's or something. And you got Swanee's, which is way better, giving you 25% off. Just go to swanees.co. Click the link in the description of the video or the podcast. Go shopping for yourself. Maybe your junior junkie. They got some great stuff for juniors there. They got stuff for your ladies that want to even dress like lady golfers, even if they aren't. That's what my wife does. So they got great stuff over there. I just did an Instagram video. Go to our Instagram. Me and Collins on the course Saturday. And Collins is dripped out head to toe. I'm dripped out head to toe in Swanee's gear. We played better, you know, because you look good.
You know who played good in some Swanee's gear over the weekend?
Who?
Ryan Brim,
that's right.
Swanee's. And Hubs. You didn't see him rocking the Swanee shirt?
I did see Brim. I didn't. Hubs wasn't, but I did see Brim.
No, that's what I said. Playing with Hubs is what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. Brim almost drove like a 380-yard par 4, or he did. He almost aced it or something.
I got to admit, I didn't realize how far he could hit the ball.
Yeah, he's also a huge son of a gun. The first time I ever saw him in person was at the CJ Cup, at the Byron Nelson on the range.
Well, he's a big boy. Yeah. Ryan Brim just sounds like a small person. I guess because I think of it like a fish, like a brim.
You need like a Ryan Grouper.
Yeah, like he should be a Ryan Grouper.
If you're talking about a pond fish, like maybe like a Ryan Carp.
Yeah, like a carp. I agree.
You didn't think I would know my fish like that, did you?
No, I didn't. Would you rather be a catfish though? He could be Ryan Catfish, like one of those big ones that they pull out with their arm, their wrists, and they're like.
That'd be a weird last name. That's the only thing. Like carp or grouper. I don't know. Grouper would be kind of weird. That'd be a weird last name, I guess. We'll go with carp.
I know somebody with the last name Bass.
Well, yeah. We have Jason Bass in the Discord. Team DB guy. Okay.
Anyway, okay.
Let's get to the next range. I love this next range. This is where decisions are having to be made here, Pat. And, you know, a guy that he's basically my 2024 Luke List of whatever year that was. What was that, 2021? He's basically that guy for me, and it's Keith Mitchell. I'm just going to keep going. I'm pot committed. He keeps checking boxes. He's third in my model. Great off the tee. Great on approach. Long irons are dialed. Dear God, please just make some putts. That's it. That's all we need, Keith. That's all we need. I just need some putts. But he does do well on bent grass. I'm going Mitchell at 35-1. I'm going Keith Mitchell 35-1. I can't stop.
Okay.
That's my first one. You go.
I like Mitchell too. I have him.
You do?
Yeah, I like Mitchell.
Okay. Okay, good.
I think Adam Schenck is going to win eventually, and why not this week? 40-1
He might. He is shortened drastically. I got him. Yeah, he may still be. Let's look.
No, he's showing 40-1 on my screen on DK.
I know, but
and on FanDuel.
I know. So this morning in the Discord chat, we hammered Schenck at 55 on FanDuel. That's a lot. He's shortened a lot. I agree. Hits it far off the tee. A lot of people don't realize Adam Schenck, the name, the way he looks, he's from Purdue. You don't really think of him as a long hitter.
Are you trying to say Purdue people are small?
No, I just think you don't really think of Purdue people as real powerful. You know, Boilermakers or whatever the hell that is. Like, what are we doing? They're not good in any sport, really. So you just think they just a bunch of kind of, you know, just what? Are they good at a sport I forgot about? Basketball, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they just made the Final Four in basketball. True.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. But, you know, it's just a weak kind of feel in school. But Schenck hits the crap out of it.
Are you saying all of this because Drew Brees went to – and because he's a maybe small quarterback and, like – but he was really good?
Maybe that's what it is. He hits the crap out of it and he putts the heck out of it. And him and Swedberg are grooving right now. So, I mean, we got him at 55. I don't – it sucks for you if you missed it. He's 40 now. But, I mean, I even though the number doesn't feel as good, like I'd like him more than – a handful of guys above him.
Yeah.
But now he's probably on the show. I don't know. I don't know. But I agree. I'm with you. Okay. We're in. We're in on Mitchell and Schenck to start. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and get weird here. I almost hinted at this, Pat. I almost hinted at it on the phone with you earlier today. I almost was like, because we were talking and we were talking about the show, and I was like, I almost gave you a little teaser. Almost tickled your podcast balls for a second and said, I got a little teaser for you. I got a weird guy. Mm. You know, if you go to Hilton Head in the summer, which my family always goes to, I love it. I highly recommend it. You go see Greg Russell. Greg Russell's been under the tree at Harbor Town for 50 years.
He's got a squirrel.
What?
He's got a squirrel friend.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. He's got this little squirrel that comes up and he talks to and stuff and feeds him.
No, that may have been when you were a child 30 years ago. That is not
true. Well, that's about how long he's been doing this bit. So he had a squirrel then.
Okay. He always says something that makes me laugh every year. Every year it makes me laugh. We go every year. I know I'm going to hear it in July. We'll be there in early to mid-July. We'll take my kids. My kids are getting older now, and it's sad when your kids like start to age out of thinking Greg Russell's funny, but he says this every year, and it makes me laugh every year. He goes, all right, kids, we're going to take volunteers. I need a girl, a boy, and a weird kid. And I always laugh when he says that. I always laugh. Well, I have a weird kid that I want to bring up. Probably the first time ever I've called his name as a possible outright bet, literally ever, which I feel like I've kind of done that a couple times this year. I feel like there's been a few names I've done that with.
No, you can't do. What are you doing here?
I think at 50-1 on FanDuel, I think Mackenzie Hughes.
Oh, that's why I was going like this earlier.
Are you with me on that?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I'm with you on Mackenzie Hughes.
Bro.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's the whistle bet.
That's the buddy, the rape whistle buddy bet of the week. We're walking in the Mackenzie Hughes parking deck looking around. Hold hands, buddy. It's going to be a rough ride. I cannot believe we're both on him. Has that ever happened? No, it's
on
never.
Hughes, I agree right now. It's never happened on Hughes. But I do like it. I think it's good. I mean, the guy's been putting unreal lately.
Well, that's what
really
he does.
Probably if he just kept it a little bit more together, could have beaten Peter Malnati. Oh, down in at the Valspar.
That actually doesn't make me feel better when you say that, because I just think about like that now we're betting the guy who just lost to Peter Malnati.
Yes, but well, Cameron Young also lost to Peter Malnati, if that makes you feel
better. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So I do like Hughes though. He was actually gonna be one of the next ones I talked about. And I'm also
God, I can't believe
you know, DB, I had a feeling about this guy in Houston. And he did pretty well in Houston with a second place finish. And I got a feeling about him again. Thomas Dietrich. Going back with Thomas Dietrich again this week. You know, a guy that I do think can win on this tour. He's 40-1. I don't think you really can. We talked about this earlier with Rory. I just don't think there's a whole lot that you can take from this team event. But he and Robert McIntyre actually played very well together. I don't know who contributed the most. I would probably venture to say it was probably Dietrich, although I did see him kind of stumble a little bit down the stretch. But I think Dietrich's been playing well. I think he's confident. 40-1 Dietrich in this type of field looks pretty good to me.
I mean, I agree. I think he's like the Belgian version of Mackenzie Hughes. Belgian because he hits it way further. I mean, he hits the crap out of it, puts the eyes out of it, and can't hit an iron shot.
Yeah.
You know, he's very Mackenzie Hughes. But if he is kind of average, I mean, he was basically average on approach in Houston and finished runner-up. Like, that's how... And I think on this golf course, with everybody hitting a lot of greens in reg, these big greens, even Dietrich can hit them. And so then if he uses that putter as a weapon, I think that's true. I like the Dietrich call. I really have had to challenge myself to narrow it down in this range, because I like every name we've mentioned so far between Mitchell, Schenk, Dietrich, Hughes. I have two more in this range. Matt McNealy. I mean, he's got the driver working better than it was. We got word on that a few weeks ago, dropped it in the Discord. He had a little driver change that's really showing off for him. If you look over his last five events or so, he's gaining a lot more off the tees, hitting more fairways, which is what he needed to do. He's above average in ball speed. Obviously, he's one of the best putters in this field. The iron play has been lackluster, but he's better with the long irons and mid irons. And he's been close. You know, I mean, he's not been super close many times, but he's been there. So McNealy, to me, he's around 50 on DK. He's 55 on MGM. That's the best number for McNealy at the moment. The last one for me in this range, up to 75-1 or so, is currently at 60 on FanDuel. He's shortened. He was 70. I got him at 70 this morning in the Discord. See, this is why you got to be in the Discord, people. One reason why I got to be in the Discord. We do this first look show. We start talking through some names. If the weather's good, we fire. And we fired on some guys and got some good numbers this morning. So, you know, it's a big part of being in the Discord. I'm just telling you. And he's probably steamed because of the record here is good and he's starting to show some form. But Seamus Power at 60-1. Has finished 9th, 17th, and 19th at this course in the 3 years they've played it here. And shown some form here lately with a T12 at the Heritage, 26th at Valspar, finished 21st at API, all better fields than what we're looking at right now. He's a PGA Tour winner, above average ball speed again. So it kind of comes down to long iron play for Seamus again, but I think he's checking enough boxes at 60-1, 70-1, whatever you can get him at there. I think he's worth the pull.
Okay. I don't mind that either. I got one more at 70-1. And this is a guy, you know, leading up to the players, a lot of people were talking about. And he really fits the profile when it comes to what you were talking about earlier, about if you look at the leaderboard from last year, how there's just people all over the place. The form's not necessarily great. The history's not necessarily great. But there's some signs with this guy that show me that he could actually win here. And I think it's time we go back to Doug Gim, DB. Doug Gim, he is actually in the BTN model. He's 11th. He's checking boxes off the tee. Approach, he's top 15. He's top 15 in that this approach bucket from 175 to 250 yards that we've got in the BTN model there. He's a good putter. So I think Doug Gim, even though he's missed, you know, he missed two cuts in a row after the Players, and then he had a T43 at Punta Cana, and I don't know what he did last week at the Zurich. But a top 20 here last year. I think Doug Gim kind of fits the profile of a guy that can come in here, not in great form, you know, and can win. He has a skill set to win here, I think.
I didn't see Doug Gim coming, but okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. See how the Gim experiment works out for you. Let's talk about the next range. Bombs. I got a few in here that I like. Before we talk about it, I got to thank our friends at SoBet. Code TJ gets you your first month for free. Every month thereafter is only 33 cents a day, $9.95 a month to get access to 50 plus sports handicappers, every sport you can think of, putting out good bets. You know, people that know what they're doing, have a proven track record of success. They're transparent with their picks. They give you unit allocations. They tell you whether they win or lost. You can track their records. You can track who's hot, who's not. You can see how well they've been doing lately. You can follow these people, and you're only getting the picks and the information. You get to cut out all the fluff that you have if you're following handicappers on Twitter or whatever it is that you're doing, or TikTok. Don't do it. SoBet's where it's at. It's worth every penny, and they are growing rapidly with really good handicappers putting out great information. Thousands of users on SoBet doing it. We put out exclusive bets, golf bets on SoBet every single week that are cashing, including my Louis Oosthuizen, top 10, plus 170 mm-hmm. last week. Shout out. So check it out. Link in the description. Click the link. Code is TJ to get that first month for free. Thank you to SoBet. If you like us, if you want to support us, support our people, like SoBet, please. Okay. Thank you. Let's move on. Bombs, Pat. The first one, Peter Kest, 100-1, FanDuel. That's what I got him at this morning. We're doing it. Bomber, putter, needs to keep making the hay. Needs to keep the starts rolling. You know, is he going to win? Probably not. 100-1, I'm willing to take a peek. It'd be random. It'd be weird. That's what we could get here. I do advise the top 10, top 20. I think he's got that kind of upside here. He's kind of reverse Willie Z. He's long, skinny, hits it a long way, but unlike Willie Z, putts it really well, needs a little help with the irons. But Peter Kest, 100-1, is the first name on the board for me.
Okay. I don't mind it. I just can't get too excited about him for some reason. A lot of people do, but I like right next to him. I think Nate Lashley. I'm seeing him 90-1 on DK. That's I think he's great. You could probably get old nasty Nate Longer somewhere else, maybe. But I think Nate Lashley is another one that, you know, you look at just he fits the profile here of a guy that can win. Obviously, you know, he's won before on tour. He's actually number four in my model when you look at just his approach play. You know, he can make some birdies. He can definitely get on birdie runs. Good putter. So I think old nasty Nate there at 90-1 is a good play too.
I'm going Matty Schmid, 110-1 on FanDuel. Pretty good above average ball speed. I mean, can definitely move it. Good with the long irons, good par five scoring stuff going on for Matty Schmid. Played this tournament last year, but definitely did not come into it. Missed the cut, did not come into it in near the same form that he arrives this year. He got T10 in Puerto Rico, 26th at the Players, 17th at the Valspar, 21st at Houston, 11th in Corrales. I think Matty Schmid's been playing really good golf. By the way, Matty Schmid, top 20 on at Corrales, was a bet given out on SoBet as well. No big deal. Matty Schmid's been cashing it, dude. 110-1. I think he's kind of ready. He's bombing it. And really, if you look at what he's not doing well, it's just very average. It's not like he's not. I mean, like the approach play, the around the green play, is just average. He's not awful, right? And he's gaining some strokes putting over his last 5-6 weeks. So I think Schmid could put it all together and do something here.
Yeah. I like him, actually. I had him written down, so I wonder if he's going to be popular in the 7K range on DK just because you and I both like him. I mean, not because of you and I, but just because we're, right. You know, he just seems to be a name that you wouldn't expect us both to be on. I like Justin Lauer too at 100-1. Now he is a guy coming in on some pretty good form. And I think, you know, he's sort of like, he's never going to check a ton of boxes. He kind of does a, you know, he's a good iron player though. Not the best putter in the world, but look, neither is Kh Lee. So, I mean, I think that if you look at, and Kh Lee won this thing twice in a row. Justin Lauer, certainly a guy coming in some good form that I think could win at 100-1.
I'm surprised. Okay, I was going to, what, do you have any more?
I have, who was the other one that I had? I don't see any right now, no.
I'm surprised.
Did you think I was going to have Bud Cauley?
No, I was leaving him out there for you. I grabbed some Jake Knapp at 100-1.
Oh yeah, well I kind of skipped over him because he was in the model here. He was kind of right next to Peter Kest, and I just kind of skipped over him. So
I don't mind Knapp. I mean, I me and Spaz and some nut hutters in the Discord were talking today.
He's been playing great lately, though.
It's got a little bit of a Mexico vibe to it, though. It's got a little Mexico vibe here at TPC Craig Nelson Ranch, whatever. Yeah, I mean, his short game is pretty brutal, but I mean, we're talking Heritage and the Masters, right? Like very different places than this place. Approach play still been fine. I mean, it's not been like,
yeah, well, I mean, that's just,
I know, but it hasn't been like peaking like it was, but it's still been fine. He's going to be able to absolutely just unload on driver here. We know his long irons are good. I think 100-1 is interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. That's it for the outright market. Let's talk about some top 20s, some locks and bombs, and we'll get out of here. Give me your first top 20 lock. Pat.
Well, DB, if I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to hide from it.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to hide from it. Alex Noren at plus 140.
All right. Jaeger to me is a lock top 20, plus 165. That's my lock. Okay. Who's your next one?
Next one I'm going to go with, actually, well, I'll go with, I want to go a little longer here. You know what? I am going to go Thomas Dietrich at plus 200.
Dude, okay. I don't hate that one. I'm going to go Mitchell at plus 180. I like Noren. So I just don't like, I'm not doing it to win at 25-1. But I like this, you know, group of locks here. Noren, Jaeger, Mitchell, and Dietrich, all top 20. All right, give me one bomb, 4-1 or longer. Who you got?
Well, and this is really kind of where the Schmid stuff came from for me, but Matthias Schmid, I like him at plus 400.
You jackass. Why would you steal that from me?
That's right, buddy. Well, you wrote him down for an outright. I had him down as a top 20, so.
All right, I'm gonna go, you know, every now and then I like to go massive bombs here in these.
That's what I was hoping for, too.
I'm going to go massive bomb here at plus 750 on DK, top 20. Now, BetMGM's top 20 odds have not come out yet. I would recommend waiting until those come out and get yourself the full ties payout. Although DraftKings has started to do that a little bit more and more. So if this guy's, you know, plus 550 or something, that's still a fine bet. And it was, you know, half of my horse that I had last yesterday on Sunday to win the dang Zurich. And it's Henrik Norlander. Because I know my guy Henrik can hit his long irons. Like Henrik is a long iron dude. Okay. Played in Mexico. I talked about the Mexico comp. T13. Had not seen him all year. Literally had not seen him all year. Comes out to Mexico, T13. gain strokes irons, gain strokes putting, follows that up with a T15 in Puerto Rico. I mean, this field is really not much stronger, if stronger at all. I guess it probably is stronger than both of those, but it's not by much. He's played the Byron Nelson 2 years at this course. Best finish was last year, T34. Henrik has got to be happy that he's got this start, and he's coming off of a good week where him and Luke were vibing. It was definitely his fault that they ejected so quickly on Sunday afternoon. He was pulling driver left. Could have been a little bit of nerves, but a top 20 for Norlander, I would say anything 550 or longer, if you get paid full out, full in ties, I'm in. So I'm going Henrik.
Okay. I like it.
All right, people, that's it. That's the show. Thanks for watching. Check out the DFS show. We've got Live Golf Singapore this week at Sentosa. I'll do a show for that. Pat, are you going to join me again for a Live preview this week?
Probably
is
not.
Is Live Pat coming back? Huh?
Maybe. We'll see.
People love Live Pat.
Yeah, but they only need Live Pat in small doses.
What about just regular, like, grumpy Live Pat?
We might could get grumpy Live Pat to come on the show. Depends on when we do this.
The people have to.
I didn't even know there was one until today, that there was another Live event coming back to back. So
yeah, they're in Singapore this week, and then they have like a month off, and they go to Houston and then Nashville.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, full slate of content this week. Be sure to check it out. Like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, please. And support those who support us. Bet the number, Swannies. So bet. Thank you. Have a great week. Bend over your bookies. See ya.
Help.